Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello, everyone. This is the interview queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw. And the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot under Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You
are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken. Glorious.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined by the Army Tank with a Ferrari engine, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Apparently that was Bray Wyatt's nickname in NXT when he was, well, when he was Husky Harris. I don't remember.
Oh, a little bit before my time.
Huskers.
Huskers Pig.
Huskers the Pig.
Yeah. Huskers the Pig Boy. And free
That's
time.
That's where I'm going at the moment.
Free time wrestling over Oliver Newman.
Hello.
How you doing, Stephen, lads?
Yeah, good, good, good. Yourself?
I'm good, yeah. Just waiting on the selection to see.
Yeah, right.
We're non-politic. We're a non-politic show.
Yeah. Just give me
Unless
a date.
Unless we have Spike Trevelyan.
Give me a date. I can plan my life. I've not been able to plan anything for months. Usually I've got interviews for weeks in advance, but I can't plan week to week. So.
Good luck with your Christmas shopping, buddy.
Yeah. Alright, so we've got a few bits of news before we get into before we discuss our modern day Dungeons and Dooms. So I think one place we can really start, the biggest news of the week. So Jordan Miles has criticised his employer's WWE as racist after a company designed a t-shirt that invoked racist stereotypes. Miles tweeted Sunday that his shirt, which has big red lips and bright white teeth on a black background, recalls racist imagery and is a slap in the face of every black every African American performer, fan, and supporter. So, and then he went on later in the evening. He went, "I will keep posting this till my voice is heard. I'm not sorry for anything I say or do. Representation is important." And tagged Vince McMahon and Triple H, saying, "This is your version of me. It's a slap in the face to every African American performer, fan, and supporter." And then later on Sunday, WWE released a statement regarding the design, saying that Jordan Miles approved this T-shirt for sale. He said, "As always, we work collaboratively with all our performers to develop logos and merchandise designs, and get their input and approval before processing. This is the same process with Albert," who's the Jordan Miles' real name, "and we respond swiftly once he has requested that the logo be redesigned. No shirts were sold." So, and then later again, Jordan Miles released a Twitter video, which he later deleted, saying WWE doesn't care about black people for giving them the finger. So, and then Jordan Miles brought up WWE's continued employment of Hulk Hogan, who they rehired in July 18, 3 years after he was fired for using repeated use of the N-word on tape. So, yeah, that's just a quick recap.
No, yeah.
And then the latest update is he's apologised on Instagram for unprofessional tweets yesterday. Mm-hmm. But still stands by what he said.
I mean, it's obviously not a nice situation for anyone, for both parties, really. I mean, it's obviously, I think, obviously with this situation, any racist situation, I think he has to look that there's WWE, I think, has always been fantastic with the ethnic minorities they do have in the company. Obviously, you only have to look at the fantastic success of Kofi Kingston this year. Obviously, some of his comments, you could say, are a bit far-fetched. And I feel like, yeah, when a superstar, he did cross the border of being a bit unprofessional. However, on that token, obviously, we've seen in the news, and obviously a lot, especially in football, you really want people to stand up against racism in a workplace or in any way of life, a public place. So great that he's standing up for what he believes in, but I think it's nice that he has apologised on Instagram, because I think he did cross the bridge of being a bit unprofessional and something that could just be done, sort of sorted out behind closed doors.
I've got the tweet if you want me to yeah, it just says my tweets yesterday were completely disrespectful and were unprofessional, and then he talks about it in more detail. I think the telling thing with this was the email that was released on his Twitter.
Yes.
When he asked for the shirt to be grey.
Apparently, when he saw the logo, it was against a white background. So when he apparently approved this. So
yeah. I think if the shirt had been grey, I don't know if he would have not liked it kind of thing, but it's. It's obviously a difficult one when he's bringing in other people into the conversation, i.e., Jay Lethal and stuff.
Uncle Tom.
He just got angry and directed it in different ways, and that's probably the worst thing about it. I mean, I read something online today that said if he was fired by WWE. Companies were going to work with him, but when he said that about Jay Lethal, they took the option off the table. So he would have been in real trouble had he been fired by WWE. After this had taken place, but he's explained on his Instagram and stuff that some of the anger's misdirected. So hopefully that. You know, it clears that side a bit up and stuff. I just wonder if the T-shirt was a different colour, if it would have come out, because I saw the tweet and I was like, oh, what's this about? And then he's tagged Vince McMahon and he's tagged Triple H here, and I'm like, wow. Stand up for what you believe in and trying to go from there, really.
Yeah, it seems to have been a bit miscommunication, because the guy who sent me email said that Triple H wanted to approve it, but Triple H was under the impression that Miles actually approved it when he said he never approved it. He had always had concerns with it.
Yes, it just seems a bit from my end. I mean, I haven't followed this too closely. It does just seem like it is a little miscommunication. And whether I'm living in a fantasy world, but just something that could easily just be sorted out behind closed doors. Just behind closed doors.
Yeah, I'm sure the T-shirt quickly. Design didn't go into it. Going, I'm going to make a racist T-shirt.
No, exactly. That just wouldn't happen.
But the thing is with this though, if he's been told it's a grey T-shirt and it's black, and they've lied to him, that was one of the things that he was angry about. He wanted a grey T-shirt, according to a tweet that was sent out.
But not to play sort of devil's advocate, if you will, here, but. He's an NXT superstar. Does he really have the power to demand a coloured T-shirt? I don't know how it works, sort of thing these days. But
I think they just come in a range of colours. You could have white, black, grey. The customer can pick what colour T-shirt to get.
I mean, I don't even know like superstars on the main roster. Like even your Roman Reigns. I didn't even know they had a. Much so in them sort of merch. Obviously, when you're in the indie scene, obviously you create it yourself. But I thought, when you get to WWE, it's one of those ones where they must have a team that sort of specialises in making the merch sort of thing. So I thought, I didn't even think superstars really in WWE really had much of a say. And it's one that it's all part of the privilege of being in WWE that it's almost taking care of for yourself sort of thing. Obviously, if someone's going to make an absolute horrendous T-shirt, then the superstar may sort of step in. But that's just—I don't know if it's just me being a bit naive and a bit stupid. But I always just thought—I generally do think that when they do get to the big WWE sort of scene, that it's mainly done sort of from the creators, so to speak.
See, the best thing about it was the T-shirt that they then released for Becky Lynch. I said, I don't care about your stupid feelings. And I was like, wow, that's a great T-shirt to release. Same day as you've done this.
I did see that one. She came out.
So, more power to him standing up for what he believes in. You lied to, you you know, you call people out. The only problem is, you know, the misdirected anger at certain people could burn bridges elsewhere if he's, you know, released from WWE, like you said, off air, Chris. How are they going to kind of deal with this? If they, you know, if they give him a push, then it's because of this. If they try to bury him, it's because of this. If they fire him, there's no option that's going to make anyone look good. No. So, he said about this. Lots of people supported him. He lost some support for what he said about other people. And, you know, he's called it out. And I guess now it's just on to just go out into the ring and just prove he's the best, which is how he ended the Instagram post.
Yeah. Oh, it's just one of those ones. You just want to get nipped in the bud as quickly as possible, don't you? For him to continue being a great superstar and obviously just for to have no more, obviously, this sort of instance like this again, really.
Yeah, they could do something similar as like they did with Leo Rush, where they just take him off telly for a bit. Let all die down and then come back and win the title.
Well, yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Leo Rush is a great example of where it gets a bit toxic at times, and then it's one of those ones having a breather. You could even argue to an extent Sasha Banks, I know she hasn't had the great return of sort of Leo Rush has had in NXT in terms of a sort of a push. But I think it's one of those ones where it's a case of if you have a breather, a bit of time off, let the dust settle and then obviously get back to doing what you're best at.
She really should have had the same kind of, return as Leo Rush, in all honesty. the matches with Becky have been outstanding, and it was time to move the championship, in my opinion. I thought the Hell in a Cell match was incredible, and it just needed the change, to light the women's division up again, really.
Yeah, cool. And according to Brad Shepherd, Edge is back in training for a return at WrestleMania. So
yowie wowie.
So according to a source in WWE, Edge is in training for an in-ring return, not a full-time return. They want to make that pretty clear. Time frame isn't certain, but it's believed to be possible being time for WrestleMania. I've been told the WWE medical staff are keeping a close eye on him. So Edge's last match was in 2011 at WrestleMania 27, where he defeated Alberto Del Rio, and then we had that really emotional speech the day after when he had to retire. So, his last appearance was when he speared Elias at SummerSlam. So,
I remember he had that spear on Elias at SummerSlam that a lot of people were talking, saying, "Oh, he hasn't done a spear since WrestleMania, I guess. I don't think he's had any physical contact really since he returned." Sorry,
no, he hasn't.
No.
So I think since that, there was a lot of people talking, saying, "Oh, hang on, that spear." He moved his neck quite sort of suddenly. It wasn't even just like a sort of a soft spear. It was quite a good spot, wasn't it? In a way. So I know a lot of people were talking after that he might be coming out. I did see him tweet not so long ago, though, saying it's pretty much bullshit, basically, what he did tweet a few. I think it was about last month. But no, how good would it be to see Edge back? I mean, I was out in a Newcastle in a club last month, and his theme tune song came on.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking, oh, my God, I miss this guy. I miss the theme tune. I miss everything about Edge. It would just be great. He's one superstar that's just missed dearly. Retired way too soon. So many more matches he could have had in the future. And I would absolutely love it. Obviously, it'd be one of those ones, though, where if you are watching a match, you're not going to enjoy it. Are you going to be so scared that any spot that he hits his neck that you're going to be, no.
It's like when Daniel Bryan's first couple of matches back, you're like, please don't powerbomb him.
We said that about Daniel Bryan, and now that's kind of gone away, so...
Yeah.
Don't I speak for yourself. Whenever Brian's in a match and he still goes down holding his neck, I'm still sort of, I'm still fearing the worst. But it would be fantastic. I did see someone fan trying to say, "Oh, come on, we must be able to have one final TLC match with Edge and Christian, the Hardys and the Dudleys. Can they pull it off?"
Christian said
he's... It would have a Saudi feel, wouldn't it? They would probably fuck all that out for Saudi, wouldn't they?
Christian's said he's too injured to come.
Yeah, I did see that. Apparently he's actually the worst one out of all six of them, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he could, I don't know, bring Rhino back. He could be Edge's partner.
I am Miles Cameron. And if you want to be miles better, listen to the Broken But Glorious podcast now.
So it's the time for Prodsworth and Pro Wrestling. Who wants to go first? I'll jump at once.
Go on then. It's a quote Eddie Hearn. Oh, go on. Twitter reference. So I will go, funny enough, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go for a tag team match, which always happens. I'm going for AEW this week. Fantastic tag team match between Private House Party, almost said Lucha House Party then, and the Lucha Bros.
It was
the Private Party and Lucha Bros. It was fantastic. It was fantastic tag team match. It's really helped my. There was obviously high stakes on the line. It just had the feel though. I mean, this is obviously a televised show. This had the feel of like if this was on sort of a tag team match, sort of main, almost main event of the pay per view. You wouldn't feel sort of disheartened, would you? It was that good. There's been a lot of great tag team wrestling at the moment. I think on all promotion on NXT and AEW, and as I say, it's really. I've always made it clear on the show that tag team wrestling is one of my favourite parts of wrestling, and these four men just put on an absolute clinic. As I say, very high paced. Lucha Bros, obviously we've seen time and time again them steal the show. I mean, their match at All Out against the Young Bucks was incredible, and Private Party. I mean, they're sort of ones that have really come on leaps and bounds, I feel, throughout the year. Because I think when they sort of when obviously they announced that obviously the tag team division for AEW, they weren't really a tag team that jumped out. But as you say, we've seen them, I think every match they seem to improve on. And I think as well, they've got a lot of charisma, so they could be a real good tag team going forward in AEW. But yeah, it was just a superb match. And again, if you don't like tag team wrestling, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
who do you think is going to win the championships? Is that this week? The finals?
Tomorrow night,
yeah.
It's Thursday night here in the UK or Thursday Friday morning.
Well, yeah.
Or whenever they kind of upload it. Or if you've got Fight Network. Oh, if you've got Fight TV, sorry.
Tough one to call.
I was going to say the Lucha Bros, but they've been beaten up SCU. You think, well, the best booking is the SCU to win?
No, I think if you want to have it's a bit like Chris Jericho going in as the first champion, you want to have it as a big sort of one of your biggest star tag teams. So I think the Lucha Bros, I think they'll do it. Yeah. I'm surprised though. I'd say Young Bucks would have been would have been the obvious choices. So I've been surprised there. So who knows? But I think it'll be the Lucha Bros.
I think they just wanted to put them straight in with LAX, didn't they? So.
I think it should have been Private Party before they lost the Lucha Bros, to be honest.
Well, Lucha, but that would Private Party got a loss elsewhere.
That would have shook things up. But I kind of agree with you, Chris. I think, you know, they've attacked them. They've attacked them before the bell. They've injured Christopher Daniels. So I think SCU becomes the AEW Tag Team Champions. Mine is Drew McIntyre against Ricochet from last week's Raw. When I saw this match announced, it was a King of the Ring qualifying, a King of the Ring tournament match, sorry, rematch. And I was like, these two have wrestled before, and there's not really any fresh matchups on the TV and stuff. And then it was going at a really good pace and stuff. And it was like, wow, this is why they keep wrestling each other. It's just amazing. The only thing missing is a belt for them to wrestle for. So yeah, this is the kind of feud that could be on a pay-per-view for years to come, and you'll get your money's worth. Just a fantastic match that went through breaks, and, you know, and then just when, you know, we need Drew McIntyre to win to look strong, he wins, but Ricochet doesn't lose anything, and it was just, yeah, just a perfect wrestling match, really, and I hope to see this again for the, you know, the Universal title or the WWE World title in years to come, because I'm hoping that's where Drew McIntyre is heading, and you know, Ricochet can join him for the ride, and we can get pay per view matches out of these two. Then yeah, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the fun. Really,
I did have a lot of time on Raw before when Ric Flair. Well, I didn't have a clue what Ric Flair was even saying, but when he was when he was announcing who was going to come out. The way he was describing the person that was about to come out, I don't think anyone would have thought it would be Drew McIntyre. when Drew McIntyre, he was making it sound like it's someone who just loves, like, limousine riding, drinking champagne, what have you. And it's talking about, like, a Scottish psychopath.
Sounds like he was describing Andrade, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it'd be Triple H.
Right, so mine is two of the best up-and-coming British wrestlers. So I was at this match. It was the Wrestle Island Championship match at the Fallen Kingdom earlier this month. So it was Lucas Steele versus Warren Banks. So Steele is 6'6", he's 250 pounds, pure muscle, against the king of the kaiji, Warren Banks. So it's had a nearly a year build to this match, where finally Banks gets his one-on-one title match. He's been in triple threat. It's been a fatal four-way. He just about he was the second to last out of the rumble. It was getting so close all year, and he finally gets his one-on-one match. So it's just a proper two horses battling out for a brutal 20 minutes affair with a shocking ending. And the match is available on our website, bbgwrestling.com, in the video section if anyone wants to go watch it. So, well, I highly recommend it.
It's your boy Hot Fire, and you tuning in to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so it's time for the first round of A Question of Sports Entertainment. Oliver, you've gone last the last 2 weeks, so I'll let you go first this time.
Oh, you're so kind.
This is rubbish.
Well, you can go first and second go. Okay, so I want you to name wrestlers who have won 60% of their matches in ECW.
60% of their matches in ECW.
So the wrestlers must have had at least 50 matches, and who won 60% of them? It's easier than you think.
60.
So 60% plus won at least 60% of their matches.
Okay.
Oliver?
Okay. Rob Van Dam.
Yes, he won 75% of his matches. He had 338 matches. That's a lot of matches he won.
He was the short because of ECW.
Rhino!
Nope.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, well, we're swearing rotors up. Where's the good end when Mark's not here, Nick?
Hello.
I'm hoping for this guy as opposed to anything else because he's one of my favourites. He's probably the Bret Hart to Rob Van Dam, Shawn Michaels. The new effing show, Jerry Lynn?
Nope.
Can I say, what's the deal with tag teams?
You have to just name one of the tag team partners.
Okay, on that basis, I'll go for Sandman.
Nope.
Raven?
Yes, just 61% of his matches he won.
Nice.
He had 207 matches.
I did like myself an even flow DDT on WC Reverse and the Bureau of Revenge.
Sabu?
Yes, 74% of his matches. He had 350.
Thanks for that one, Nick. Human Suplex Machine, Taz?
Yes, 79% of it. He had 321.
I don't think this is going to be right, but Tommy Dreamer?
Yes, 64%. Oh. He had 485 matches and he won 64% of them.
Jesus. How many matches have they got to have, Chris?
At least 50.
He's 50. Okay.
Because Francine won like 80% of her matches, but she only had like 20 matches or something. So I didn't include
that. Say that again, sorry.
And Francine won like 88% of her matches, but she only had 20 matches.
I'm going to go with the guy that Heyman got really behind. And I'm just going to hope he's had the right amount of matches and won 60%. Just incredible?
No.
No?
On the list. Right, last go, Nick.
I'm trying to think who's gone and who hasn't gone. Oh dear.
Some big names on this list.
Yeah, I know. I don't really know. I'm trying to think who was WCW and who was ECW.
A couple of them were involved in the invasion.
I'm just going to gamble and say Bubba Ray Dudley.
No. Right, so the end of that round, it's 3-2. So you could have had Al Snow, Bam Bam, Bam Bam Bigelow, Chili Willy. I don't know who that
is. Chili Willy, yeah.
Johnny Grunge, you got Tanaka, you got Michael Awesome, New Jack, Perry Saturn, Shane Douglas, Super Crazy, Todd Petty, or Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, yeah. Al Snow, I should have gone for. But there you go.
All right, so after round one, it's 3-2 to Oliver.
Hi, this is the Asian sensation Kanji, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Alright, so it's Halloween week, so I thought it'd be fun if we created our own modern day versions of the Dungeon of Doom, Ministry of Darkness, that type of thing. So, do you want me to go first? Or do you...
Yeah, can I go last on this one?
Yeah. Alright, so the leader of my faction is Chairman Ramu. This character is from DDT Pro Wrestling. It's a demon possessed little girl who has the supreme choke slamming powers. So,
my idea. We're doing this like a draft, actually. Sure, it's doing strong. We're doing this like a draft, actually. So, you're going to go first and take all the good guys.
No, you can just do a version. It's about if you do the same people.
Oh, okay.
It's just your version of the modern day Dungeon of Doom. So, my idea is for Ramu to. She can use her mind control powers to possess and control Seth Rollins, which she will use as a mouthpiece in her mission to destroy Roman Reigns. So the basic storyline is Roman is trying to save his best friend from the evil chairman, and Ramu wants to destroy Reigns because she wants to live under the sea because she mistakenly thinks Reigns is Jason Momoa from Aquaman.
So Reigns has been electrocuted.
So I also in my faction I'd have Sue Young, because she can summon her army of the undead brides who can protect the chairman.
I was just thinking about her, Chris. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, so they can protect Ramu and swarm Roman whenever he gets near to her. And I'd also have AAA's Lost Psychos Circus, so Monster Clown, Murder Clown, and Psycho Clown. And they are the heavies of the group. I'd use them as like end of level bosses for Roman to get through to try and win his friend Seth's soul back. Yeah, so that's my faction is Chairman Ramu, possessed Seth Rollins, Sue Young and her undead brides, and the Lost Psycho Circus.
Very good,
Oliver.
So this is five members.
Yes,
at most.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't put in as much detail as you have, kind of just met with people. Okay, so I think the guy that's kind of running it all is Joker Sting. You can see the tie-in with the latest Joker film and stuff. My female will be Alexa Bliss. Because, you know, she kind of dresses up as like Harley Quinn sometimes. Tag team is Rowan and Harper. And and just like an unstoppable, monster kind of thing who's kind of on a rampage, you know, would be on a rampage if he was working in the company at the moment, but he's kind of in limbo. Got a lot of time for Killer Cross.
Yes, as White Rabbit.
I haven't seen his Lucha Underground stuff, but no, we'll just go with Killer Cross putting a hit on different wrestlers and stuff like he did when he first joined Impact last year.
So, that's good team. Nick?
Okay, so for mine, the leader of the group is going to be a man who's very violent, very scary when he's off his nut, basically, Jimmy Havoc.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Bray Wyatt.
And he's going to come down with his obviously weapon of choice will still be the axe. He's still in progress, but he's allowed to use the axe.
Yes.
So he will actually murder people. You think I'm joking, but he's right next to me, Jimmy Havoc, right now with the axe. He's looking very angry. Jimmy Havoc is the leader. The female will have. Female, I'm going to. I was just thinking it was going to. I'm going to change my mind. No, female will have Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
Obviously, not the Nikki Cross that she is at the moment, with Smiley. She's not allowed to smile. She's the scary Nikki Cross who wants to come out and play.
Yeah.
But she actually gets to get locked in the. She has to get locked in a cage because when she's fed out, she destroys all females.
Yeah.
Only Havoc can control her.
Was Nikki Cross you both females that you were just thinking about there, Nick?
Oh, we're going to name two females.
No, because you said, oh, I'm thinking about this one, but I'm going to go with this one. And then
I was thinking of Vicky Haskins, but...
Oh, okay.
I've changed my mind. My tag team is going to be the Broken... yeah, the Broken Hardys.
Yes.
And they are very broken. It's not just... they're more broken than ever before.
Brother Nero is my favourite version of Jeff Hardy, so.
Yeah, no, this Jeff Hardy is something you've never seen before. and I've got one more. What else have I got to name?
You got one more if you want it.
You can have up to five, so.
Okay, up to five. Well, we haven't got much muscle in there, have we? So when things are getting a bit scary, they need a scary guy, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to come out and to the rescue? None other than the Big Red Machine,
It's gotta be Kane.
And it's the Kane of the scariest Kane is, you know, when he untook his mask off in 2002.
Yes.
Yeah, 2003. It's gonna be, you know, at night when he actually took it off, it's gonna be that face that he had, but he doesn't ever clean up. It's just gonna be like that face for going forward.
Kane in black makeup.
That was the scariest thing I've ever seen, I think, when I was a kid. I think I actually I was watching it on VHS. So, you know, I used to watch Raw and used to put like a little video into the TV to record a Raw overnight.
Yeah.
I watched it Saturday morning. I think I was so scared I tried to get rid of it. It was like in that Home Alone when he tries to come off after the gunshots.
Yeah.
But it was just stuck on Kane and the TV froze, so I couldn't get rid of it.
Those were the days. Just say with my Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the Bludgeon Brothers, I like them better than the characters I've got there. So they're more scary than Rowan and Harper, I think.
Yeah.
They're nothing on the Broken Hardys. They'll throw them into the lake of, what's it called?
The Lake of Reincarnation.
Well, that's where they get reincarnated into the Bludgeon Brothers.
They'll get reincarnated into vegan loving Rowan.
So I've got this all, got all the pay per view sorted out.
So, yeah, that's my five.
Oh, brilliant.
Very good.
So that was a fun chat.
This is the professional Nathan Cruz, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast, because like me, you are head to toe a pro.
So it's the time for the final of a question of sports entertainment. So it is currently 3-2 to Oliver.
Yay!
I think this question probably favours Oliver a bit more as well.
Chog.
Well, I think the ECW one probably favoured me as well, because I don't think Nick was born.
As you could tell by my answers, I was going for your generic ECW wrestlers, the ones I probably still can go now.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right, so, So in the year 2000, the WCW World Heavyweight Champion changed hands 24 times. So I just want you to name wrestlers who held the WCW World Heavyweight Championship in the year 2000. So, Nick, you can go first for some.
I don't know if this was 2009 to 99, but I'm going to go for a man who made me cheer, actually, and mark out on Dynamite last week, DDP.
Yes. Yes, he did.
It's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Oliver?
I want to go with the five-time WCW champion, Booker T.
Yes, he won it three times, that year.
I want to go for a man that was badly treated in the Royal Rumble this year, Jeff Jarrett.
Yes, he won it four times, that year.
Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Yes.
Was he in WCW still? I'm going to go for, yes, Sting.
No.
Fuck.
Chris Benoit.
Yes, he won it for a day and then joined WWE, didn't he?
Yeah, he beat Sid.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, who are you going for,
Nick? You got to think at this point, Nick, I was watching Raw and then Nitro and Thunder back-to-back.
Have you just told me someone who's won it then?
Yes.
No.
Yes, Sid.
Yes, he won it twice.
Cheers.
Kevin Nash.
Yes, he won it twice. So your last go, Nick.
Oh, bollocks, Jeremy. That was a peep show reference. Goldberg.
No.
Yeah.
Alright, so you've won, Oliver. Do you want to have your last go anyway?
Yeah, I'll have a last go. Vince Russo?
Yes.
So the thing is, that quiz doesn't mean anything, does it? Because it was just a spin-off, because Mark's still doing it next week.
So you could have had Bret Hart. I'm surprised you didn't go for him, Oliver. David Arquette or Ric Flair with the other three people.
I was thinking David Arquette. Oh, Ric Flair, of course. I was thinking David Arquette, but I wasn't sure if that was 1999 or 2000.
Yeah, I thought David Arquette as well. But I remember Ready to Rumble come out in 99, yeah. Did it? So I thought it might be wrong answer.
Right, so congratulations, Oliver. You've won 7-5. So.
And you've won the pre-season friendly. Well done.
You couldn't sound more like a loser if you tried, Nick.
No, I'm just saying well done for pre-season friendly. I mean, it's all about fitness and everything. So just getting the... Getting the cobwebs off the boots, so yeah, well done.
I'll have a nice obscure quiz for you the week after next.
Well, you won't win it next week.
No, but Mark's quiz is next week, and then I'll do it in mine.
No, you'll be the winner of Mark's.
Yeah, this is just for fun. So.
This is just for fun?
All right, so before we do our BBG big debates... So, we have a partnership with Powerslump.tv, where you can get a month's free access to over 140 promotions in 20 different countries, contributing 6,000 hours of content by using our promo code BROKENFREE. Alright, so, the BBG big debate. So, before we get into this week's debates, the results from last week, where we debated the greatest Raw or SmackDown theme tunes. In last place, Know Your Enemy, Nick, 14%.
What a joke.
Third place, we're all in this together now. Mark, 15%. I came second across the nation, 31%. And the runaway winner, the beautiful people, Oliver, 41%. So congratulations, Oliver. So
thank you.
As the winner, you get to pick this week's debate. So what were you debating?
Who do you think could have or should have been WWE or... World Champion.
Yeah.
Not including WCW, and because you guys mentioned it in chat, not including NXT, and it's probably from the period of 91 until 2016, so before the Universal title.
Okay, cool. So we get one pick each, and we get 1 minute to argue. So who wants to go first? Well, Oliver,
you can go first, Chris.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
So I was torn between Piper, Jake the Snake, and my pick. But I thought Piper and Jake's characters in the 80s were above titles, so they didn't need it. So I've gone for Razor Ramon. So in WWE, Scott Hall was known as Razor Ramon. His character was created in the likeness of Tony Montana, which is from my favourite film, Scarface. And Ramon would achieve lots of success in the company, but nothing above the Intercontinental Championship level. So Ramon was part of the first five-star match in the company's history, in the ladder match of WrestleMania 10 with Shawn Michaels. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, three members of the Clique all became WWE champion. Why not Scott Hall? You'd think that Clique's influence would just push Hall towards the championship. Plus, Scott Hall had everything that Vince creams over. He's 6'7", 280 pounds.
Time. Jacked. Time.
Great luck. Good on the mic.
Time.
Yay.
Time. Go up.
And perhaps.
So the best angle in the whole of 2010 was the Nexus. How great was that? Their debut on Raw and everything. Fantastic. Smashed the setup. Looked like a real deal. Wade Barrett just won NXT. He was cutting promos left, right and centre. Brilliant. It was the hottest thing in wrestling at the time, I would say. As I say, he was still in the mic. His in-ring work was fine. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. He also had an title opportunity to use up. He could obviously, as he won NXT Season 1. And then WWE. John Cena buried them all. Great. So, yeah, Wade Barrett absolutely should have won the WWE Championship back in the year 2010. Obviously, he could have really held WWE hostage in a way. They could have made Nexus into this unstoppable force that would eventually get taken down in years and years to come. But it didn't. How great would it have been? It would have been absolutely superb. Wade Barrett is still, he's still great on the mic. And even roll the clock forward, I think it was 4 years later.
Time.
I'm afraid I've got some bad time news for you.
Time. Jeez. You got a minute, lads.
I'll count you in, Oliver.
Okay.
We're already 10 seconds in. What are you waiting for? 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1, off you go.
For me, the only man that could have been WWE or World Heavyweight Champion is the greatest, Paul London. He's been a tag team champion. He was cruiserweight champion. The fans were forward behind him. He had an in to the main event in 2008 when he could have been part of the Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels feud. That could have been used to catapult him to the main event. It wasn't. You saw what could be done with a wrestler, with the Brian Kendrick, and the fact that he won the WWE Championship in the Scramble in September. That kind of could have happened for Paul London as well. Fantastic in-ring ability. You could have had a manager with him, although he's shown his interview chops since. Just one of the greatest wrestlers to step foot in a WWE ring, and one of the most deserving to be World Heavyweight or WWE Champion.
Stop!
There you go.
Oh, so Wednesday lunchtime, I'll put up a poll on our Twitter at BBGWPod, and the winner will get to pick next week's debate. So,
I'll give you something anyway. Go on when you're ready.
It's still recording, so just when you're ready.
All right, cool. Right, idiots. This is Mr. Williams, your Wrestle Island GM, superstar, film star, wrestling star in the UK. Make sure you listen, subscribe, like the Broken But Glorious podcasts. Idiots, get it done now.
Alright, so we'll finish the show with a quick predictions of Crown Jewel on Thursday. So the first match we'll go for is the Battle Royal. Winner will get to face AJ Styles for the US Championship later in the night. Doesn't say who's in it.
So. Well, it'll probably be the bloke who won the Battle Royal at the last one, Mansoor.
Mansoor's already got a match against Cesaro later in the match. He was my pick. I said it's going to be his annual win.
It'll be someone, maybe like some high flyer. That new guy on Raw, Humberto.
Yes, that'd be great. Great.
I reckon it'll be him. Yeah, we'll go for him. Actually, it might even be like, because who knows if Saudi shows, it might just be like a legend that gets come winning in face styles.
So.
I'll go for Humberto, though.
Humberto. Hello.
Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm thinking they might give it.
I think it'll be Humberto, but I'll go with Cedric Alexander because Nick's gone for him.
Yeah. Who's I want it to be?
I'd love it to be someone like Buddy Murphy, but the characters are too similar.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I'm gonna go for. Might go to something like Shelton Benjamin. Andrade. Andrade's in it. So I've just got the list up. I'm gonna go for Andrade.
He's not gonna go up against AJ, though, is he? Based on character.
I think they just want a good match.
You think they'll just do a match? See, the one you should have gone for, Chris, and he's one of your favourite wrestlers. He's always looking for a fight.
Ah, Aleister Black. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be a fantastic match for that.
Yes, I'll go for Aleister Black then.
You're welcome, Chris.
Okay.
Sorry, fucking
end. All right, next is the 9-team tag team turmoil match for the WWE World Cup. So you've got the New Day, the Viking Raiders, Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, Hawkins and Ryder, The Revival, the OC, Ziggler and Rude, who I'm sure broke up recently, and the B Team. So.
B-team,
go, go, go.
So is this a
gauntlet? I'm guessing, isn't it? It's a turmoil match gauntlet.
The thing is, though, New Day have already got a title opportunity next week on SmackDown. So it doesn't really make sense. If someone like the B-team goes on wins, then surely they're going to go, well, shouldn't we become the number one contenders then?
They could be the number one contenders after the New Day, couldn't they?
I reckon it'll be the New Day.
I'm going to go for the Viking Raiders because they haven't lost yet, so I can't see them just randomly losing.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the Revival because they're my favourite tag team.
The Revival's still the SmackDown champion?
Yeah.
So they've got both champions in one match. That'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if it comes down to them two as the last two.
They should have put the NXT champions in the match as well.
It's been a triple threat match between the tag team champions of each show.
Oh, that would be
because they've got Mansoor, so you know.
All right, so then we've got Mansoor versus Cesaro. I'm guessing this is going to be Mansoor's annual win. So.
And
Cesaro's going to make him look amazing, I think.
Cesaro's the class, obviously, at the NXT UK, so at least making Cesaro go is more like the hometown pay-per-views and just squaring off against local talent sort of thing.
All right, the next match is The Fiend versus Seth Rollins in a match that can't be stopped for any reason, so I don't know how you're going to win.
I think they mean that pinfall submission.
It's the wording of it.
The wording of it, yeah, it's terrible.
It's a false count anywhere match.
It should be Bray Wyatt, but then because they've moved shows, it doesn't make any sense for it to be Bray Wyatt unless Brock brings the universe. Well, the universal title somehow goes back onto. No, wait a second. The WWE title somehow goes back on. Somehow goes onto Raw because it's obviously been a SmackDown title, hasn't it, for the last however long. They'd have to do that to bring the universe title with Bray Wyatt onto SmackDown. So, I guess Rollins wins it, continues to go down this dark path, and with that, you kind of get the old Seth Rollins, which I think we're probably enjoying more than the one we've got at the moment. Outside of match quality, he's not that interesting as a good guy, I don't think.
No,
I've lost so much interest in this feud. Direct Hell in a Cell was just a complete disaster. So I really lost complete faith, hope, and just complete interest in this whole disaster of a feud. It's going to be Seth winning, but how he wins it, I don't really know, and nor really care at this point.
Yeah, same here. He has to win it, but I don't know how he's going to do it.
So. Yeah, it's the match I'm least looking forward to, and it's a shame because the excitement, the whole buzz going into Hell in a Cell, and now it's just completely wrecked. It's a bit like so many good angles when they've been wrecked, like Summer of Punk, the Nexus, which I mentioned earlier. It's just I'm not looking forward to it at all. So yeah, it will be Seth. But
right, next is WWE Championship. So Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez. Brock has to win this. You can't have Cain Velasquez win in this first match, can
you? No, you probably would have said that in the UFC fight.
I don't follow UFC.
Well, yeah, I don't think you'd say that Velasquez would have battered Brock Lesnar, but that happened.
That's
the best thing about this dude was the way that Mysterio jumped at Lesnar on SmackDown, and like he caught him and and he caught him and slammed him into the wall with an F5. I thought that was tremendous. It'd be interesting because isn't Velasquez the one that was in AAA?
Yes.
And under a mask and stuff, and he performed pretty well, didn't he? So
I heard he was really good. And
yeah, the match quality will be there. It's whether they want to take a punt on it, really. But if it isn't Velasquez, who's going to beat Brock Lesnar? But the likelihood of that kind of, title change happening is pretty much slim to none. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, I don't know if any of you guys saw what happened on Raw, I think it was last week or the week before. His punches on Shelton Benjamin were cringeworthy to watch.
Yes.
It was so bad. I know wrestling's fake, but this was just something else. This was a complete disaster. I mean, it was just painful to watch.
But if he levels him, Nick, he's gonna.
Yeah, I know that, but like you'd think he'd just have a bit of training. I'm just saying it was no one. I mean, if anyone's looking at that, going, "Oh, look how brutal this is! Look how like when Brock's doing it, it's class."
Yeah,
like I was watching this, I couldn't watch because I was so embarrassed to be watching it because it's that cringeworthy. So I'm looking forward to it. I thought the build on SmackDown was very good because it makes everyone look strong. Brock looks obviously Brock at his best. Obviously, it's logical for Ray and Kane's guy at the back looking for Brock, and then obviously they can't help getting jumped. So that spot on Ray was brilliant. So, but then going to the match itself, they have kind of booked themselves already into a corner, which is because they've got this unstoppable guy from UFC who's beating Brock. Are they really going to bury him on his debut match?
It's going to be a schmarze.
It's going to be a dodgy ending. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
But if it leads
there's a rumour that
if it leads to Mysterio against Lesnar, I don't care. I really want to see that match.
There's a rumour that the New Day are going to turn heel and cost Lesnar the title.
Cost Lesnar? What? Oh. I was thinking that could be quite. In the back of my mind, I was thinking they could turn heel and then beat the both guys up, including Ray.
Yeah.
And
he just
Dominic,
finishes in a no contest.
Everyone loves seeing Dominic getting beaten up, so add him just in for good mix. And I think it'd be better if there was a three, because then that's a bit more believable than three of men tacking three superstars and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more believable than having Kofi and Big E attacking two unstoppable UFC fighters. That's just not really logical. And even regardless if they've knackered after a match, no matter how many weapons Big E and Kofi have got, it just doesn't seem logical in the slightest, does it? But it is going to be a shenanigans finish, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe
logic goes out the window when you're talking about wrestling, though, Nick.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And especially in Saudi, anything can happen, can't it?
Cool. And then we've got Braun Strowman versus the person that apparently paid $15 million to be in this match, Tyson Fury.
See, this has got to be another schmoz as well, hasn't it? In all honesty.
Yeah.
There's no way Strowman can lose this match. And there's no way an undefeated boxing champion is going to want to lose in a wrestling match. So I don't know how they're going to do it. But,
I think they're just going to go outside and start beating each other up and get double count outs or something. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Two no contests in this pay-per-view. I hope everyone enjoys it.
I'm looking forward to this one more. I think I was looking more excited when it first happened. The on SmackDown and on Raw, I was really looking forward to it. I love Fury. I do like my boxing. Tyson Fury is probably my favourite. I prefer him to Joshua. I've really liked his merch as well. He looks like the part, doesn't he? He actually does look like he's made for the business. A bit annoying he hasn't had a better crowd reactions, but I guess he's obviously. If he was American, he would have got better reactions, I guess. I'm a big Fury fan. I'm really looking forward to it. His promos, I don't think they've been as good. I was hoping his promos were better because he's actually very good at the talking part. I don't know how well you guys watch, how much boxing you guys watch, but he is very good at his promos. They can be a bit brutal at times as well. So that's a bit disappointing to me. Whether WWE told him to, under no circumstances, to go to act like Tyson Fury. But it'll be interesting to see how it is. I've quite like the kind of jokey parts of this as well, like Strowman attacking him at the training centre. I thought was quite funny. And then I think he was on Good Morning Britain. It was quite funny when he was just sort of saying, "I was just minding my own business and I got attacked." who are you kidding?
but if WWE are paying him $15 million to go and fight or wrestle Braun Strowman, and they don't want the real Tyson Fury.
They said, yeah, if you go off on your promos, then you can forget this money.
Don't say anything that's racist or bigoted. You can say what you want.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're a bit more safe on this one because I think they can go a few too. I think you've kind of answered it yourself there, Oliver. I think if Strowman does lose, then Strowman goes the guys up against an unstoppable boxing force. Give Strowman a couple of big competitors in the next coming months, and his pride's restored. I think if he goes and beats, I don't know, like some big men on SmackDown, you've got Harper on SmackDown, haven't you? Just his superstars like that. Then if Fury goes and loses, then you could do and just turn around and go, look, I was up against one of the best superstars in WWE. It's not my industry. It's my first ever match. I was beaten by the better man on the day, blah, 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 blah. So I think this one, they're in a bit more of a safe backing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Get him to throw some shots at Strowman, pick him up, power slam him, 1, 2, 3.
Well, yeah, even that, if he does actually just chin him, then it's almost like, it's kind of out of the...
If Strowman loses this match, I can understand why he wanted to quit the company not so long ago.
I think it'll just be a double count out. They just brawl to the outside and just...
It's going to be a schmazz if not a Strowman win, in all honesty.
Okay, then at the main event, I'm guessing, is Team Hogan versus Team Flair. So you've got Reigns, Rusev, Ricochet, I'm not calling him Shorty G, Chad Gable, and Ali G. And they've got, I called him Ali G. they've got Orton, Corbin, Lashley, Nakamura, and McIntyre. So I'll just quickly say you want to win this.
Is it an elimination match or just...
It just says a 10-man tag. I assume it's not elimination.
Tag, okay.
I'm guessing just...
It'll be Team Hogan.
Team Hogan to get the faces.
Yeah, Team Hogan and Ali would be a good way to win this, I think. Much like from SmackDown, which Nick was referring to earlier, so I'm guessing he's watched. When Roman Reigns tagged in Ali and he got the pinfall in the six-man tag. So, Hogan, Ali, that's the way this one ends. And then maybe the rematch of a 5-on-5 elimination at Survivor Series.
So, do you want to do your books before we go?
I've done a British wrestling book that covers the period of 2001 to 2007. That's called A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I've done a WWE book, which is based on the 2016 year, which covers Raw and SmackDown Live pay-per-views, NXT takeovers. The WWE book is called A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What Year to Be a Fan of WWE. I've done a book on WrestleMania 24 that's called Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. These books are all available for half the Amazon price on my fansperspective.bigcartel.com. They're all available on your local Amazon in paperback. And if you have a Kindle, you can get them instantaneously on Kindle. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get them instantaneously again. And I get paid per page as you're reading the first scene.
Great stuff. So long-term listeners will know that I'm an election officer by trade. And the government today has decided in their glorious wisdom to have the general election. So that means 12-hour days, 6 days a week for me for the next 5 weeks. So this will be my last show till mid-December. So, we hope to still bring you shows every week, and the schedule won't be disrupted that much, but we might have shows might be a day late maybe sometimes. So if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, it's at BBGWPod. You can follow our hub, BBG Wrestling, and check out our website, BBGWrestling.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.